From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Good morning. I'm John Hingsbergen, inviting you to participate in the program, to interact with our guests, as well as support WEKU. On today's show, one of the most familiar voices on the radio for many Americans until her retirement, I put retirement in quotes, from NPR in December, Jean Cochran's newscasts were heard by nearly 27 million listeners every week on 849 NPR member stations, including, of course, WEKU. Jean Cochran, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. This is a thrill. I am really enjoying it. Glad to be here.
Jean is joining us by Skype, in a few weeks, actually in 6 weeks, WEKU listeners will get an opportunity to meet Jean in Lexington. She'll be taking part in a reception and another Eastern Standard show on the evening of May 7th, and we're going to invite listeners to be part of the audience for that show in person, and we'll get a little bit more in-depth in a conversation similar to what we're doing today, but hopefully we'll have a lot more time, obviously, to interact with Jean. Now, Jean, you began your career as a newscaster. I mean, did you start out as a reporter? You worked for Morning Edition in 1981. What was your goal? What was that all about when you started?
Let me think back. It's a while ago. Yeah, in 1981, I had worked for about 5 years in Vermont and New Hampshire as a reporter and a newscaster in some commercial public radio stations. I lost sound there for a minute. There was no public radio in Vermont and New Hampshire at that time. But at any rate, I came to NPR in 81 and got work as a production assistant and on Morning Edition, which was about a year and a half old at that time. And I could fill in as a newscaster. So I was versatile. And I was, by May of 81, I got there. And in the fall, I was hired. And I've been with Morning Edition ever since. I switched from segment producing on Morning Edition to
Are we giving you a delay or an echo there, Jean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. There had been a delay,
Let me turn something down here.
I got it. No, it's fine now.
Good. Now. It should be good now. You should not hear anything else coming back. I'm sorry. We're dealing with the technical issues of dealing with Skype, the technology, this morning.
Yay, technology! So I don't know where I was. Anyway, I came in '81 and was a production assistant on Morning Edition. Got hired then, and I could newscast as well, and so I would fill in. And then after about 9 years on the program of segment producing, I became a full-time newscaster, which is what I really wanted to do. So that was around 1990. Anyway, I lose track.
Well, Jean, you worked there for NPR for 33 years. No one works in a job 33 years.
Especially in journalism. Journalism is a profession where people jump around a lot. And so how lucky am I to have found where I wanted to be and was able to remain there and help it grow and be a part of that whole great organization. It's the only place I wanted to be. So some people move on and, you know, go to other major news outlets or whatever, but I've always very happy to have been at NPR. It's the pinnacle of news journalism. So
something I did not know until just a few moments ago when we were chatting before the show. Are you a native of Ohio, of the Cincinnati area?
I certainly am. I was born in Cincinnati and lived there until I was about 13.
So this area of Lexington and Eastern Kentucky is not a foreign territory at all to you?
Not at all. Very familiar.
Well, Jean, tell us, and we want to invite our listeners to be part of the show and to support WEKU. Let me give the phone number, 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. And you can do two things when you call today. You can support the station and you can interact with Jean Cochran. Feel free to choose one of those two or do both. We'll be glad to get everybody on the air that we can during this hour before 11 o'clock, 800-621-8890. Gene, tell us what a newscaster does at NPR. People heard you during Morning Edition, usually on the half hours, right? You were on at the...
I've pretty much always been on the half hour. Carl Castle at the top of the hour for most of my career as a newscaster there. We get in there at 3 in the morning. I mean, my alarm goes off. Went off, I'm happy to say, at 1:50 in the morning, and I had to get there around 3 a.m., and you sort of hit the ground running. My first newscast was 5:30, but I used that couple of hours there to read the news, check the newspapers now online. We can do that, and everything, all the places news come from nowadays, and then start writing. And the first newscast is 5:30, and I have a producer there who's helping to pull sound for me to use in the newscast to sort of help it tell the stories, be it a reporter or an actual newsmaker, an official or something, what we call actualities, just a short clip of the governor of some state at a news conference, something like that. At any rate, and after that 5:30 newscast, then it's sort of what I call wash, rinse, repeat. The delivery is just the smallest part of it. It's all prep, as life is. So I would just come out of a newscast and sit down and catch my breath and, you know, start reading and seeing what my producer has given me for sound and start writing and do it again. And I would have 7 newscasts. 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, and 11:30. And that would take Morning Edition all the way through to its West Coast feeds. Morning Edition officially goes off the air at noon Eastern time.
So listeners would hear you for 5 minutes each hour, but you were not just sitting around with your arms crossed for the rest of the hour.
No, that is a I do not go to meetings. I do not take conference calls. It was just straight nose to the grindstone work the whole time. And I look back on it now and I'm like, oh, how did I do that? A real slave to the clock because you really, you know, if you're on deadline, you know, 7 deadlines a day. Yeah.
We're going to ask our listeners to call and talk to Gene Cochran this morning, 800-621-8890. What do you want to know about the life as an NPR newscaster? What do you want to know about NPR in general? Maybe we can talk about the state of journalism, broadcast journalism today when you call 800-621-8890. And Gene, I can imagine, I know I have questions, but I'd like to let listeners have the opportunity to ask these questions. People might have questions about people you worked with, like Carl Castle, Bob Edwards, Steve Inskeep.
I'll do my best.
Linda Wertheimer, all these very famous people who have been part of our lives for so many years.
Susan Stamberg, yeah.
You were there? I mean, you're really almost a pioneer because of your role there early in the days of All Things Considered and Morning Edition.
That's right. Pretty close, yeah.
Get on the line. Give us a call at 800-621-8890. Some familiar music rolling in the background here. You may recognize that, folks. Send us an email if you'd rather interact with us directly by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. The phone number again, 800-621-8890. Support WEKU and talk with Gene Cochran, formerly of NPR, on Eastern Standard. We'll be back in just a few moments on WEKU. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen with the former NPR newscaster Gene Cochran. And Gene, I want you to listen to this sound and see if you recognize what you're hearing here.
Yeah! All right.
Do you have any idea what that is, Gene?
Oh, don't make me cry. Yeah, that was the wonderful send-off I got from my last newscast as a full-time NPR newscaster, December 20th.
Those were your co-workers, right?
Wow, yeah. They many, many of them came out, and I don't know, in the new building, the newscast and much of tech is all on the third floor, and then the fourth floor has a balcony that so you can look down into that pit. And everybody was crowded around that that balcony, and they were all around the newscast area and the studio where I came out of. It was just, oh, so heartening. It was just thrilling. And I didn't know what to say. but one thing I said is, I'll be glad to get up at a normal hour and sleep all night. It's been long enough that I've been getting up in the middle of the night. And yeah, it was a really heartwarming send-off, I'll tell you. But you know what? I just want to say, I know I should say retired, but you know, I'm still going back. I'm a bench player now. I will be back actually, and here's a challenge. I will be on Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, newscasting until 4 a.m. So I've been on Saturdays a couple of times. People have tweeted like, "Hey, I just heard Gene Cochran," and I just go, "Busted." Yes, I'm. You know, called in now and then to fill in.
What time will you be on Sunday for those of us who don't go to bed, don't stay up till 4 a.m.? What's the earliest?
I know I go in at 8, and my first newscast is 10 p.m.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay. So
10, 11, 12, it's the top of the hour. This is the one opportunity I get to do top of the hour. All my life I've done half hour, but as a bench player coming in to fill in, I'll be doing the top of the hour. Yeah, 10 right. o'clock.
Gene Cochran is with us and still with NPR, we shall say. And Gene, I know you're on Twitter. Would you like to have Twitter followers? I'll be glad to mention, we can mention your Twitter address.
For oh, this. Yeah. My Twitter handle is at NPR News Girl.
All right. That's why I noticed you still kept that. You kept NPR in there. So she's still very much associated with NPR.
I'm kind of going to grab emeritus status here, I think. After 30 years, I can still say I'm still NPRs.
Well, Gene, we're going to go to the phone and talk to some of our listeners. Great. At 800-621-8890. And you may have heard during the fundraising pitch there that those who call in during this hour for whatever reason, to give, to interact with Gene, to just say hey, will be entered into a drawing. And at the end of this fund drive, actually this morning we'll do a drawing, and during the 12 noon hour we will announce who will be getting an opportunity to have Gene record their answering machine message. You may know of Carl Castle, of one of Gene's former colleagues who has worked with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and is getting ready to retire from that. Carl has done that over the years, and we're asking Gene, and Gene has graciously agreed to record your voicemail message for you. Someone will be chosen by random from our listeners who participate in today's Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890. Let me bring up on the phone here on line 8. This is Don from Lexington. Don, you're on the air with Gene Cochran. Go right ahead.
Well, my curiosity is the amount of, and her observations, amount of, quality of, interchange of investigative reporting, and where and why or what can be done that would improve or make the quantity a lot larger.
All right.
Oh, sure. And it's a real quandary for news outlets, because investigative reporting is an expensive thing. You're having a lot of people, or two or three people, just to set aside a couple of people to spend a lot of time, and not be, you know, it's they have to work to come up with a product. And sometimes it doesn't even pan out. The investigation doesn't really yield any news. I know NPR has devoted, we do have an investigative arm, but it's that, you know, and at a time when journalism is going through just a contraction and expansion and a real upheaval due to the whole digital transformation, trying to figure out how to stay viable alone, change business models, investigative journalism has become even more dear and difficult to come by. And I agree, it's a problem. But NPR, I know, does have an investigative unit. And so we are devoting some resources. I will say, while a lot of newspapers are going through such a difficult time, NPR and public radio has been steadily expanding. And it's thanks to listeners like you, Don, and others who are supporting us. that we can continue to give that kind of quality to our news and do investigative journalism.
Don, thank you so much for your call. We're going to move on, and we have other callers waiting on the line at 800-621-8890. Jean Cochran of NPR, we've mistakenly called her former newscaster because she's doing some work for NPR. She's also going to be in the Lexington area in May 7th. You've heard us talk about it on WEKU. We'll be talking more about it. So if you haven't heard the details, we'll make sure we get those out for you. But you may have an opportunity if you're a WEKU Day sponsor to interact with Jean Cochran in person. Jean, before we go back to the telephone, you talked about NPR and investigative journalism, changes that happened in the newscast unit at NPR over the years. 9/11, September 11, 2001. Where were you that morning?
I was there with Carl. Carl was the first to go on the air with just the little, just a couple of. A little bit of information that we had.
As I recall, what I heard was Carl said that there's been a report of a small plane hitting one of the towers of the World Trade Center. We'll tell you more when we know.
Exactly.
That was the 9 o'clock newscast, I guess.
Yes, I believe it was the 9, and I came on at 9:30 with a few more lines of information, but still not much, and it just unfolded that morning, and our people scrambled and got on the air with what we knew, and eventually by 10 o'clock, see, I think I did a 10:30 newscast, but after that, morning edition just went wall to wall.
There weren't any more newscasts, were there? I mean, the programs all fell apart. It went into rolling coverage.
We just went special coverage, and like every other news outlet, and just had our people scrambling and calling in with information and telling listeners what they knew.
Well, NPR was not known at that time or did not have a very strong reputation as a breaking news network. And I know that I'm sure there were major changes that happened at NPR. How did that affect you? What do you experience there in terms of the internal goings-on at NPR as a result of 9/11?
I think there was a shift. A decided shift to do breaking news, certainly a newscast. I refer to the newscast unit, and it is my heart, and I believe it's the heartbeat of NPR. We are on the air, certainly during the programs, twice an hour, and then every hour on the hour, 24/7. So newscast is the first place where you're going to hear breaking news, and that from where I sat, that's what we're dedicated to. And we're constantly discussing with editors. And frankly, it's newscast unit telling editors, hey, this is news. We've got to get somebody on this. Mm. And sometimes they're so concerned about the magazines and getting All Things Considered and Morning Edition on the air and whatnot that we wake them up at newscast unit. And so newscast became even more important as a source of breaking news to keep our listeners informed, and special attention made to not to keep the speculation out, to only deal with facts, to get confirmations, so that what we're telling people, we're sure is factual and true, and that's been our key sort of watchword and standard by which we operate. So. It shook us up, you know. It shook us up, and we responded to what we saw as something we need to do.
And public radio listenership has gone through the roof. People have depended on public radio, and especially NPR, for the last decade, more. Now it's now 12, 13 years in support and recognizing the value of NPR as a result of that day, 9/11. Let's get back to our listeners. This is Eastern Standard at WEKU. 800-621-8890 is the number to call. You can talk with Jean Cochran of NPR, who you may have heard over the years during Morning Edition, and you get an opportunity to talk with her today. If you'd like to donate and support WEKU, you're invited and encouraged to do that as well. 800-621-8890. Let's talk to Robert from Lexington. Robert, thank you for calling.
Hello. Hello, Jean.
Good morning.
Yes, I was just interested. Actually, you were just talking about, I guess, one of the questions I had was how you handle breaking news stories and very fluid news stories. But I think what I'd like to ask is what NPR programs are your favorites? That's one question. And, you know, what you enjoy listening to most. And then also, on some of the newscasts, I hear the reports from Ofelia Kustarkin and Sylvia Poggioli, I guess your primary international correspondents. And I was wondering if you might talk a little bit about those two correspondents.
Oh, sure.
Excellent questions, Robert.
Let's see. My favorite, I've got to say, it's weekend programming. I mean, I love All Things Considered. I don't get to hear, or I didn't get to hear, Morning Edition, believe it or not. It's nice to sort of listen to that program now. But because I was newscasting, I was working, not hearing the program, only the 5 minutes before me. And I'm kind of enjoying Morning Edition now. I have heard All Things Considered much more over the years, and that program always astounds me at what a fabulous job Robert and Melissa do at breaking it down and providing context to issues and providing a grounding to the news, for as news is concerned. But then I love weekend programming as well, and of course that's got to be Wait Wait and Car Talk. They're just too much fun driving around and listening to over the weekend as you're puttering about your business on free time. So those are my favorites. Ofelia Kustarkin in Dakar and Silvio Poggioli in Rome are two of our among quite an outstanding team of foreign reporters. And they've just done yeoman service. Sylvia is not Italian. She's married to an Italian and has lived there, you know, umpteen years. So
she does a good job portraying one on the radio.
She does, doesn't she? Yes. So their names, because you don't see these people. You're not distracted by pictures on radio. All you've got is this voice. And Silvio Poggioli, it just has captured people's imaginations. Over my 30 years, whenever I'm out in public and speaking to groups, somebody asks about Silvia Poggioli. And it's not only her fine reporting, but it's the wonderful ring to her name. And I think the same goes with Ofelia. We're so happy. Africa, huge continent. And unfortunately, we only have our one reporter there, but she gets around and she does a wonderful job in covering the wars and political issues in Africa.
Well, Robert, thank you for your call this morning, and good luck. We'll be having a drawing from among those who call in during this hour with Gene Cochran, so Gene can record a voicemail message for one of our listeners this morning. Everyone who calls in will be entered into a drawing. We will conduct a random drawing, and you may have Gene Cochran's voice on your voicemail sometime in the next couple of weeks if you call 800-621-8890 and support WEKU and interact with Gene Cochran. A little more of that Morning Edition music playing in the background, because we're going to take another station break here and invite listeners to support WEKU by calling 800-621-8890. Get on board, talk with Gene Cochran, send us an email if you choose to do so, WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook or even send us a tweet, and we'll be back with Gene Cochran in just a few moments on Eastern Standard on WEKU.
And hard and as this job has been, and as much as I've loved it, it's really hard to leave. I mean, I can't stand leaving the news. I can't stand leaving you guys. But, you know, a person's got to sleep.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, and Gene Cochran is our guest today. And I've you know, managed to find online, Gene, I guess it's a YouTube video of your your final newscast at NPR, December 20th of 2013. You retired as a result of an offer given by NPR because they needed to cut the budget. Your colleague, Paul Brown, was another one who left?
Yes, Paul Brown. He retired. He took the buyout as well.
Mm-hmm. And I hope, hopefully Paul as well. I've had an opportunity to interact with him. I know he had heart surgery last year, came back to work for a week or two.
And a little bit, yes. But yeah, after it was serious heart surgery. And it's a lot of stress in that job. And he did. He was off for a couple of months. And then the buyout came out in that time, the offer. And so he, for his reasons, chose to take the buyout as well. And he's fine. He's he and his wife have moved back to North Carolina, where for a long time they live split between North Carolina and Washington, D.C. And so now they're back in North Carolina. He's playing the picking the banjo and enjoying life.
Well, Gene, a caller a few moments ago asked about your favorite programs on NPR. What about your favorite colleagues? Who were your favorite people to work with? And gosh, what a list of people you've worked with over 33 years.
Sure. And some you may not even know. And I, but of course, topping that list is my work husband, Carl Castle. I mean, I had the pleasure of sipping coffee and going over the morning news like most married couples. But I did. Carl and I had that together at work for so many years. We would be in the news ready room at 3 a.m. and reading, sometimes not talking at all, and other times going, "Did you see this? Oh my gosh!" You know, and talking about the news or about developments at work or whatever. But so I had such a wonderful. I couldn't ask for any better workmate. You know, the most supportive, most understanding colleague ever. And I learned so much from him. He's just a naturally good, easy writer. And I would sometimes look at his copy and go, "Oh, I could do that. I've got to work toward that." Others, Susan Stamberg. Now, this is all sort of familial. She's kind of my big sister. Because she was one that I met early on in 1981. She was putting out her first book, and Susan, I'm running in copy to the studio to Bob Edwards, a morning edition at 8 a.m. or something. And Susan stops me and says, "Could you please photocopy this? I need this for my book." And I'm wondering, she didn't realize what I was doing, but I did. I was scrambled and everything went fine. And then she realized later, oh, okay. But Susan over the years is also someone I've been able to go to and talk things over with and the issues that come up. And so she's certainly one of my favorite colleagues. And,
We'll let you settle for those two for now because right. I want to get some more listeners on the air, and we have a brief time on today's program. 800-621-8890. Those who call in to talk with Gene Cochran or to donate or just to call in and say hey will be entered in a drawing. And after 12 o'clock today, we will have a drawing and announce that someone will have their voicemail message recorded by NPR's Gene Cochran. And that could just as well be, let's see, here on the line right now. Sorry for my confusion here. This is line 8 and Rebecca from Lexington. You could end up being the winner of our drawing and have Gene on your voicemail. Rebecca, thanks for calling.
Hi. Hello, Gene.
Good morning, Rebecca.
My question pertains to, I've been a fan of Talk of the Nation since back when Ray Suarez hosted it, and I was one of the really irritated people when it was canceled. I was a NPR migrant. I'd go to San Francisco and listen to Talk of the Nation, and so I'm not a fan of the replacement show here and now, and I just wanted to see what you had to say about why such a good show, what, after so many years, was punted from the schedule.
Gee, I cannot really speak to the reasons why the decision was made way above my pay grade, but I understand your feelings about that. Talk of the Nation had a really strong following, and it was one of the few sort of sane, normal talk radio shows where things got discussed on a, you know, a sane level, let's just say. But I think it may have had something to do with our financial situation, because I know that Here and Now is a collaboration with the Boston station, and that helped to ease some of the financial burden. Where it's sharing, cost sharing, and so one of the reasons is about all I can shed light I can shed on that.
Well, Rebecca, thank you for calling. Let me follow up, Jane. We know what happened to Ray Suarez. We see him on our public TV. We know what happened to Juan Williams. And what about Neil Conan? What's he up to? Do you have any word on what he's up to now that he's no longer with Talk of the Nation?
Yes, he's in Hawaii.
Oh, my.
and he's farming, oh, if I can remember, it's something kind of obscure, like a walnut farm or a something. But yeah, he's now for something completely different.
Wow.
And I understand he's really enjoying it. He's really digging it. So.
Excellent. Well, Jane Cochran, we had also a message earlier in the hour I want to relay. Mary from Midway did not want to stay on the line, but she wants to know what was your most emotionally difficult and stressful time while working at NPR?
Oh, interesting. Certainly September 11th is on that, high on that list. It's also, I've got to say, covering Congress just as in general has become very emotionally stressful. Everybody's stressed out by the political dissonance and inability to work productively among our lawmakers. And that's just kind of overall stressful, I think, maybe to every American. But I've always found that when something – like the first big story I covered was the assassination of Anwar Sadat. And there's an example of something that I covered it all morning. And then when I come home, I get a chance to – sort of relax and think about what just happened. So that's what I do with those stressful times, is at the time, I'm not even thinking. I'm just finding the facts and trying to write them and put them out on the air.
Well, Gina,
and it's only when I leave,
As the newscaster, you were the face and, of course, just really actually the voice of news on NPR. Did you ever go out to cover stories? Was that part of the job?
No.
You did it all from indoors.
all in front of my computer. I'm just basically a news processor, information processor. I read it, I digest it, I write it, and then I turn around and deliver it. Wash, rinse, repeat.
All right. Let's go to Michelle from Lexington, who is on the line. Michelle, thank you for calling.
Hi. Hi, Jean.
Hello. Good morning.
One of my concerns is, I guess, what I'd call the balkanization of news and news consumers, where, I mean, it's great that we have so many different places to get the news, but it seems like most of us will just continue to go back to the news sources that give us what we want in from a point of view that we're most comfortable with. And I just wonder what your thoughts are on this, and if there's anything that news outlets themselves can do to get people out of their bubbles.
Thank you. I could not agree more with you. It is something that is my concern. Wherever I go, I encourage people not only to listen to WNPR, but to actually pick up a newspaper and pick up more than one newspaper. But you're right. It's a balkanization or silos or people living in their bubbles where they're only getting reinforced in their beliefs or their thoughts, and they're not getting challenged or not even just picking up stray information they might not have normally seen because they're only looking at one place that sort of makes them feel good. And what can be done, I don't know. I mean, I think NPR... And our member stations all work hard to give out information across the board and points of view across the board and so many different voices coming from all aspects and walks of life. But I don't see an answer to it because it's technology has sort of brought us that way. And then the marketing, which says, oh, you like this? Well, I'll give you more of this. And I have no answers.
Michelle, thank you so much for your call.
You.
And good luck in our drawing. Someone who calls in or who participates in the show or makes a donation to WEKU will be the recipient of Gene Cochran's voice on your home voicemail system. So call 800-621-8890. We are running out of time for this morning's program. If you want to send us a quick message by email, it's wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. We'll try to get to that. And, of course, many of our WEKU listeners will get an opportunity to meet Gene in person at a special reception, and we're going to tape a WEKU Eastern Standard program on May 7th in the evening on the 7th at the Griffin Gate Marriott Hotel in Lexington. But you can still get on board now, 800-621-8890. Gene, again, 33 years at NPR. I guess that you worked at the old place, obviously, on Massachusetts Avenue in Washington. Were you there at the very beginning? Were they on M Street, was it?
M Street. Yes, I've worked in three NPR buildings.
And the new place is just gorgeous and modern and high-tech. How does that compare to the first place you worked?
Yeah, the first place we just... wherever we go, we kind of have to build studios. And it was so great to... on Massachusetts Avenue, we just gutted it. It was a bank office building, and we gutted it and then created studios out of it. And there's no comparison. This is not any former office building. It was a warehouse, the one on North Capitol, our new building. And we've built on top of it. It's green as can be, with beehive on the roof of the fourth floor. And it's a lot of fun. It's a great place to work. You want to go to work there. It's very open, you know, trying to avoid the cube farm. It's a place where ideas can easily be bounced around. And so the old building, there was one earlier than 2025 M Street where things really got started. And I don't even know, it's not far from 2025 M. I know Bob Edwards was there. A few people were there that are still at NPR. But yeah, I came a little later than that.
Certainly humble beginnings for what has become preeminent news and broadcast organization.
We have grown.
We have, I think, another caller on the line, but I don't think I have a name for this caller. But let me just go ahead and bring the caller on. Caller, you're on the air. I don't have your name. Who's on the line?
My name's Lisa. I live in Versailles.
Okay, Lisa, we've got about 30, 40 seconds for you, so go ahead very quickly, please.
Well, I've been listening to NPR for 30 years, and I was wondering how, for reporters like Gene, how news has changed for you with so many people with smartphones, access to almost instantaneous reporting on the street from just regular people.
Excellent. That's a great final question for our program.
Yeah. And quickly, it's changed from when I started in 81, we had clunker wire machines. An assistant had to go rip the wires, and you had to go read through the wires. And now... we're on the internet and we're instantly getting information and updates from various news sources. I mean, including Twitter. You'll check Twitter, but Twitter's not, we don't consider it a reliable source. So we will confirm any information we get, but my goodness, it certainly is immediate.
Gene,
so
we're
yeah,
out of
the
time.
Immediacy is, okay, sure.
Gene Cochran, we'll continue this conversation on the evening of May 7th. Listeners are invited to participate. If you become a WEKU Day sponsor, we're grateful, Gene Cochran, for being with us on Eastern Standard on WEKU. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.